Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This hour is brought to you by Down There Urology.
The Bernstein and Holmes Show.
Kevin Warren's got a little bit of, like, wrestler in him.
Chicago is the finest city in the United States of America. And I personally believe Chicago is the finest city in the world.
The greatest city in the world, Chicago, Illinois. Yay, crowd pop. Yay.
The museum campus, those beautiful buildings along the lakefront. And when I say lakefront, a lake that you can swim in that's blue and it's clean with a beach.
I think it's one of the greatest cities in the world. No! Chicago, Illinois. Yay.
You see, you don't know where the macho man is coming from. You're right.
And Marcone Giardinera.
Are you thinking what I think you're thinking?
I think I am thinking what you think I think you're thinking.
I can't believe that a city like Milwaukee or Detroit is on the up and coming list.
Because it's mind-boggling to you, yeah.
Even Orlando's on the list. We're here right now.
Orlando sucks.
And it's not irony, it's coincidence.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
You called me, bitch.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 a.m. till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi, with you on this Wednesday. We'll also be with you tomorrow on Thursday when we're out live. So remember, 10 to 2 tomorrow, Wings and Rings on Halsted, brought to you by Modelo. So make your plans now to come hang out with us and enjoy some wings and talk some White Sox, and that's going to be cool. But so is today. Mike Florio at 11, Ian Happ, 11:25, Russ Dorsey at 1. We've got High Noon, and we've got a whole lot more. Our producers are Diaz, Studzinski, Fryer, and Lapka. How are things? Good?
Tyler, not Fryer. Tyler. One of the Tylers.
It is Tyler Farengul.
Yeah, Brandon hasn't been here all week.
Spring break.
Good thing you noticed.
Sorry.
You know how, like, when you come in here and you look over there and it's Tyler and not Brandon?
All I can see
then
is the top of my head.
We have a bunch of Tylers.
Okay. So I couldn't tell.
You do have a bunch of Tylers.
I know it's not Brandon, but it's a Tyler, yes. When the latest Tyler rankings come out, I don't know where Farengul is and where Butterbaugh is, because we have to make sure we're up to date on who's
It's very important.
Yeah.
How dare you guys play favorites?
No, it's an independent firm that does the rankings, so it's not really our favorite.
Farengul's got a way to go to catch up to Butterball. Right. Let's keep it a buck.
Okay.
He's got a ways to go.
Okay.
Butterball got a letter from George McCaskey.
Oh yeah, that happened. But he also invited him to his wedding.
That's right. You got a ways to go, Farengul's. Like, you got some work to do, fella.
You got to get George McCaskey to your wedding.
To play the piano.
Yeah.
It must be Bear Down.
I mean, he could do anything. He could do the Goldberg Variations if he wants. I mean, there's all sorts of wonderful things I'm sure George can play for you on the piano. And then his brother Patrick can come in and sing.
Don't.
Why? No?
He always makes it uncomfortable.
Yeah, he does. Because he's an odd duck.
He is, but it just... I'd like to see him sing in an environment that is more conducive to singing.
Number 89!
And not, you know, an award ceremony. I don't know. Because the other part is that it goes on too long. It's okay if you want
to. Well, Ed used to sing.
Orange and blue, cover two.
No, 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 no. No. To illustrate my point, Studs, I want people to live in the uncomfortable. Let it roll.
Why?
Erlacher. Erlacher. Fills gaps and makes tackles. Orange and blue. Cover two. You have won the piccolo. Forces, fumbles, sacks, quarterbacks, makes key interceptions. Erlacher, Erlacher, we hope you play forever.
Well, this answers why the Bears don't want to be on Hard Knocks.
And
now I get it. Now I 100% get why the Bears don't want to be on Hard Knocks.
Well, I don't, but you wonder why I'm always kind of hinky about the Bears. And
can't you join a church choir?
I'm pretty sure that he is.
That's not enough, huh?
Hey, when you own a football team and you throw a press conference, if one of the kids
seen the look on Brian's face,
one of the kids wants to come out and sing.
It was incredible.
I will say that in the culture, there was always a Persian dad or two who would break out in song at somebody's party for a child or something.
Would people join him though?
Oh no!
Was it like the guy who did the Bulls winning song?
No, that guy was good.
Yeah, that guy was awesome.
It's like, I'm throwing this party, damn it.
Was that guy
Here's
Persian?
My turn on the mic. I think it's Turkish. I don't know.
All I know is I loved those videos. Stefan Noh would put it up every time, and it would be the Fred Hoiberg, Napoleon Dynamite dancing. And
yes, Will Gottlieb is now the keeper of the song.
Oh, I didn't know we transferred stewardship.
And you say you watch Bulls games.
It's true.
I do watch Bulls games, and then I'm sad, and then I go to sleep.
Well, yeah, no, that song actually 100% makes sense as to why the Bears don't want to be on Hard Knocks. I was like, oh, why are the Bears so concerned about this? Why don't they want to be on the show? Who are they protecting?
For Texas that are saying that you can't hear that, I was in the room when that happened.
Ooh.
Okay?
It's like the definition of being embarrassed for somebody.
Correct. And it's like, there are points where you're like, okay, if he stops right here, if he stops at interception, it's uncomfortable, but you're like, all right, look at him. Like, he's honoring Brian Urlacher. Like, that's a cool thing. But then there's another verse.
Mother, I've written more verses.
That's a different one of the kids.
My favorite part is that's a 45-second soundbite, and it feels like it's 5 minutes long.
And again, I was in the room when this occurred. It was uncomfortable.
And you say Brian was giving him the stink eye?
No, he was. Imagine someone's just started singing about you. How would you feel?
Oh, I thought you meant Brian McCaskey was
no.
Giving, Urlacher was
Urlacher.
Because I could understand too if Brian McCaskey like wanted to put a blow dart in his brother's neck.
No, if you're Brian Urlacher, you're like, ooh. Okay.
I mean, maybe he's protecting people, and if that's what he's protecting, I question nothing now. I'm like, I get it.
Yeah, but they're probably not going to be on Hard Knocks anyway.
Well, I mean, isn't that the point of reality shows, is to have moments like that?
But it's not that anymore. Like, that's...
I ever tell you guys about the time they tried to sign my entire station up for a reality show?
Really?
No.
Oh, yeah. This was like East Texas 2006. They tried to sign us all up for that, like whether or not we wanted to be on it. And I'm like, how dumb do you think we are? And so I like purposefully bombed the interview and was like the most boring person alive. And it ended up being on Fox, and it was called Anchorman. And they had like two episodes, and they like tried to start a fake love triangle between two people who were married at the time, which I thought was super insulting.
Hell?
And like, tried to make one of my friends, who's probably one of the nicest people there is, into like the meanest person on the show.
I hate producers.
And I'm like, do you guys even watch reality TV? Like, do you know how they do to people?
Yeah, I know some of
like,
the...
Like, they would make me the villain every time because I'm sarcastic. I'm like, nah, I got enough microphones. I don't need this in my life.
I heard the same thing about the producers of Wicked Tuna. And I know somebody that they asked who has a tuna was like, hey, we want you to be on the show, but you've got to be the black hat. You're going to be a jerk. You're going to, at least they were upfront about it, but they basically said, yeah, we want you to be an antagonist.
Yes.
And
this, at least they told you.
Right. And this person's like, yeah, no, thank you.
And the other piece of this is I'll never forget when the sizzle reel was broken and they were like, hey, go to this website called YouTube. Because somebody leaked the sizzle reel. And I was like,
put
yeah.
me on YouTube.
And I was like, this is exactly what I thought this
Don't
was going to be.
Don't put me on YouTube.
I'm like, do you guys even watch reality TV? And I guess the answer was no.
One of our...
But I got out of there before I had to deal with it.
Our former coworkers was like a major star of a reality show. The Black Ink Chicago. Charmaine used to work in our sales department. And she was like a... Charmaine Bay, who now I think she's still doing stuff for GCI, but she was a huge reality star. And basically, when she left the show collapsed. Shout out to Charmaine. I was very happy that she got all the stuff that she got. But yeah, it was like Black Ink Chicago. And then Charmaine left and that was it.
And I know you were joking about the Hard Knocks stuff. We talked a little bit about it yesterday. I'm not. I'm still bothered by the fact that somehow the Bears are terrified of the possibility.
I mean, as long as that doesn't happen, what is there to hide that's so concerning to the rest of the league?
There's some possibilities there that are tantalizing.
But that's the question, right? At this point, it's like, what state secrets do you think you're letting people in on?
Then why don't we talk about that along with the state secrets about stadiums and whatnot?
Okay.
We'll do both of those things next. Bernstein, Holmes, Rahimi here on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's always interesting. I have an interest in making sure that the NFL stays strong and vibrant. I would say that. And
that's a yes.
I'm saying sincerely, we have other things that we'll be announcing too, but when you think about even the Hall of Fame game.
What are you saying sincerely? You're saying nothing, because obviously we know how your boss feels, Devin Warren, about being on Hard Knocks, and I guess I don't get it.
I think if it were up to Kevin Warren, he could really speak freely on this, he would say, do it.
Sure.
Because it's... good for the Bears. It increases brand awareness of the Bears. I mean, you talk about it all the time. Beth really likes Dan Campbell because of Hard Knocks, right?
And she finally admits she likes football. And it's taken only about 30 years for her to admit it and for her to understand. She's like, yeah, I guess I'm... She even said it the other day. She goes, I miss football. So a lot of it was Hard Knocks. She always liked Hard Knocks, even when she said she didn't like football.
But think about that. Like someone who doesn't, or at least at the time, didn't like football, but was drawn into the story of the Lions because mm-hmm. of watching Hard Knocks, which is like it's a gateway drug to football.
If it's done right.
Yes, but I think anyone who's interested even a little bit in, well, let me see what the inner workings of the NFL are, here you have Hard Knocks, and the Bears don't want to participate in it.
Gentlemen, might I offer that that is actually the proven formula now for gaining audience share in America. I present to you F1 Drive to Survive.
100%.
The entire country didn't care about Formula One, for the most part, until that show. It has become a proven formula. That's why Netflix is investing so much money in it. That's why you saw Full Swing last year.
I'm convinced that the reason that Chicago has NASCAR races is to show F1 that they could do an F1 race.
No, the reason, I mean, but now NASCAR has to compete for share that used to be just given to them with F1. That's the difference. And I believe personally, the reason why F1 decided to trademark something here is because the infrastructure is already in place. So if
we'll
NASCAR
do a better job than Las Vegas, then
oh, the potholes, terrifying.
Jeez.
But if NASCAR decides to do the street race in another city, which they've already talked about, then F1 could theoretically come in. I'm not sure why that wasn't brought up at the time.
I would like to talk to George, though. I would like to know, like, really, what is at the heart of their fear?
What are you afraid of?
What concerns you so? Are you really worried that the world will see that you're a dysfunctional, insular family ownership in a way that casts everyone in a bad light? Or do you not want to see Virginia McCaskey walking through the hallways with a cricket bat, sweeping things off of desks, kicking everybody's ass right and left? Shape up, suckers!
I love, like, the fan fiction of
Ginny,
yeah,
yes,
but King, like, Virginia,
yeah,
McCaskey.
Like I love the idea of her, like, grabbing people by the ear and, like, come down here, I need to talk to you about, like, I love that whole idea.
Or are you concerned of the fact that you had too many assistant coaches who were wanking in the office and now you got to deal with all that?
Yeah, but Hard Knocks isn't going to show that.
That's the difference here, is Hard Knocks has deviated a lot from its original mission statement. Like, the whole show was created around whether or not you were going to make the team.
Mm-hmm. If you go back and look at the Ravens year of Hard Knocks, like, some of the videos have been circulating because of what's gone on with Shannon Sharpe and his career over the last 6 months. And it's just so great. Like, some of the fun stuff from it. And as it's gone on, teams have been like, hey, we don't want our, you know, proprietary stuff out there, or how we rank players or cut players. We don't want any of that stuff to get out there. And if you've been I watch it every year. Like, it's a good way. It's, for me, it's like a timing mechanism. Like, you get,
yes, you it's part of your ramp up to your football mindset.
But now it's so sanitized because of the league partners that I don't know if George has anything to fear. They're not going to put the Bears in a bad light. They're going to put the Bears in the best possible light. Think about what happened last year on Hard Knocks, where you have Aaron Rodgers being like, you know what I really love? I love the guy who does the voice for Hard Knocks. And then Liev Schreiber helicopters in to Jets practice.
I thought that was that. I thought it didn't work.
Of course it didn't, Dan. But that's the type of stuff that they're doing.
I mean, and Jerry Jones every day would want Hard Knocks. He's trying to recreate it.
Sure. The other thing, too, is I give Eberflus a no end of rough ride for how he sounds in formal or semi-formal presentation moments. He's not great as a front man, but maybe, just maybe, he's awesome sitting at his desk, or just, you know, if he forgets that there's a camera on somewhere, maybe that explains why people like him and why football people like him. I want to see that side
of
him.
But he doesn't even have to be the front man. Like, Robert,
well, Kevin Warren is going to be busy resurrecting Lazarus.
Robert Saleh wasn't the front man for Hard Knocks last year. Aaron Rodgers was.
You know, the person who's actually probably the most equipped to handle that isn't even in the building yet.
Is the quarterback.
Caleb?
Yeah. Honestly.
I agree. That's another reason why, if you're Hard Knocks, you want it. Because you have the number one pick on a team that is people will expect to compete for a wild card fair or not, to Caleb. You have a charismatic, camera-friendly quarterback that already kind of knows how to play to the camera a little bit. You have a heritage franchise. Dan, we were joking around. We wrote the intro to Hard Knocks. It writes itself. Here's the Peyton statue at Soldier Field. Here's the Hallis statue scene. It's. I don't know. I hope they do it, but
the founding franchise of the NFL.
That's right. The sun rising over Hallis Hall, like all of that stuff.
The sprinklers.
It's very easy to do.
Also, there is a marketplace for wholesome content. If the Bears are as wholesome as they purport, then in theory, there's a place for that too. Like, people want people to cheer for, you know? That's the flip side. Now, unfortunately, every time I hear some sort of lull in our conversation today, I'm going to hear that song in my head. There's no doubt about that.
An Urlacher song?
That was terrible.
And most people don't even know the source material for it.
What's the source material, Dan?
Edelweiss from Sound of Music.
Play it again because
Dan brought
it up.
That's supposed to be a play on Edelweiss?
Yes, he's singing Edelweiss.
Play it again, studs. The whole thing.
No.
Yes.
We have other things we need to talk about.
It's only 45 seconds. It just feels longer.
Urlacher fills gaps and makes tackles. Orange and blue cover two. You have won the Piccolo. Force is fumble.
Gonna cut it there.
Sacks quarterbacks. Makes key.
The guy from the Apollo Theater.
Could have cut it there.
Urlacher,
Sandman, is what they call it.
Yeah, Sandman Sims.
We hope you play forever.
Okay.
It's only 45
seconds.
Beer now, baby.
All right, well done. Yeah, that would be Edelweiss from Sound of Music, which also, I know it because it's the theme song for the club, whatever it is, for Alpha Phi Sorority. Don't ask me why I know that either.
Yeah, I don't know why you know that.
Beth was an Alpha Phi.
Oh, but wait, you guys didn't go to college together?
No, but she worked for her. So she worked for the national office of her sorority right out of college, so she was still involved for a while.
All right, so maybe that's what the concern is, right?
The inner workings of the family that we get to see.
If you were protecting people from deficiencies in the family.
But
being broadcast to a national audience.
But that's never really happened on Hard Knocks.
That's not true.
All they really have to do is have EP credit. If they have EP credit, then they can have.
And they do.
I will give you the year of the Bengals.
Where you're finding out how Mike Brown.
Yes. They didn't do Mike Brown a whole lot of favors when he kind of came off as a dithering, bumbling Elmer Fudd to everybody else pretending to be executives.
But the difference is he was the owner and he's the sole decision maker there, right? So he's the one who signed off on himself.
Yeah, I can't imagine the way that it works now with the teams being so involved with HBO. I mean, I'm sorry, Max, right?
Max.
I don't even think HBO exists.
I think it's just Max.
You know what I realized? I realized it yesterday. I was watching Abbott Elementary. I am okay with commercials on shows that ideally would have had commercials.
I agree with you. Okay, so sometimes I need to get up and check on what's in the oven, or I need to go, or my phone buzzed
or something.
It's also
because they're built for breaks.
Right. Yeah.
It's strange when it's like in the middle of somebody's sentence on YouTube and it's like, cut.
Right.
I'd much rather,
movie.
Yeah. There are natural breaks where you can insert a.
Right. And I'm watching, I'm like, yeah, this doesn't bother me. This 90 seconds on Hulu doesn't bother me. But if it happened in a show that isn't built like that, that bothers me. That was the realization I came to last night.
Like, can you imagine watching a plot arc form in the middle of The Sopranos and then...
Oh, God, you...
Don't stop.
Yeah, they did it themselves. I'm just having an issue now with some of the length of the breaks, and all the breaks are... It's all pharmaceutical ads.
You're going to talk about the length of the breaks when people sit through breaks for us?
As a matter of fact.
Sorry, guys. It's free for you, not for us.
Right, exactly.
I do want to ask the question about the stadium discussion that I think needs to be asked moving forward. Can we do that next?
Sure. Why not?
Okay.
You don't have to ask.
Yeah.
Just say we're doing it next.
Your name's literally on the show.
I like to build consensus.
Nah, not with this crew. Just, we're a bunch of idiots.
Yeah, we're better off if you just say, look, here's what we're doing next.
No, I like volunteers, not hostages.
Basically, you're like the Virginia McCaskey of this show with a cricket bat. Like, just, you know,
guys, if I
head.
Owned a multi-billion dollar something and I had a cricket bat, I wouldn't be here.
Just hit us in the head and do whatever you want.
For the record.
Nate.
It's fine. So what are we doing next?
I want to know, what is it going to take for you to believe that a $200 million purchase of a property is no longer valid to a conversation?
Like it.
I like it, too. We'll do that next. Bernstein, Holmes, Rahimi! On the score.
Bernstein and Holmes. Middays 10 to 2. On Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Score.
And 670thescore.com. An Odyssey station.
We are the largest landowner in Arlington Heights right now, 326 acres. We own a beautiful piece of land. And I have great respect for Mayor Hayes and Randy Reckless and all of the politicians there. So, you know, my belief right now, these projects are incredibly difficult. And just learning the various things that I did in Minnesota, you have to be laser focused. And right now, we're putting our energy to downtown Chicago, you know, to the museum campus, just from an energy and resource standpoint. So we still own the land. We're the largest landowner. We'll stay in communication with Arlington Heights, but the focus now has to be on Chicago to give us the best opportunity for success.
I understand that Kevin Warren has to say these things because, once again, the Bears did things out of order.
Yep.
However, you paid $200 million for a piece of property. And for everybody who's like, oh, the Bears will make money on it. Really? Because we're not talking about undeveloped parcels of land here in Chicago that have much bigger draws that are having trouble finding buyers. Really? Really? Interest rates? Anybody? Anyway, to me, the question becomes, knowing that there's legislation in place protecting the lakefront, knowing that your lease isn't up until 2033, knowing that you spent $200 million on a property, which you said was your sole focus the entire time your former president was here.
And then hired a bunch of business people. Like the Bears, like
right.
They put out those emails of a bunch of super high executives with a background in stadium building.
And promoting from within. Yay. Promoting women from within. Credit Bears. But putting all of that together,
Bears,
you mean to tell me that I'm supposed to believe that this isn't about a tax rate that you didn't pre-negotiate before you buy your property?
I'm not here to tell you that because I've said it before. I will believe that you're building in Chicago when there are bulldozers breaking ground in Chicago.
That's it.
And what not is a it, moment before
that. What is it going to take for you to believe that this isn't bluffing?
That.
Or part of a negotiation process.
Especially when Kevin Warren just told you. Right now, our focus. There's no timeline on this, really, other than whenever
the
leases
are up.
Yeah, no
one's kicking the Bears out of Soldier Field.
Right.
And if they hustle, considering they will own the parcel of land, and it's not, you know, leased to them, they can get a stadium done fairly quickly, and they still have a lot of time left on their lease to do all of that stuff.
Like, guys, I don't like spending $2 on something that I don't really feel passionately about
you
for the use I need it for.
$6 on crackers.
Yeah, The club crackers at the Jewel were on sale for $6.
On sale? Six for a container this big of crackers.
So I don't think the Bears are throwing around $200 million. They didn't change course until they had a discrepancy in tax rate. So as long as that remains the conflict as to why Arlington Heights isn't being further developed, I just don't know how much longer this is going to go on. I think until they get a more favorable rate, but there's already been some movement on that as well.
And I think that's why he continues to pound the table a little bit. And what I was saying to Dan yesterday, because he's upset, he's like, I'm not doing Kevin Warren's bidding. Like, we're not. We're allowing people to understand what some of the politics is behind this. And that if they are seeing things that make them believe that there's going to be a new stadium built in the city, there are a lot of hurdles that are, to me, more difficult than just paying the tax rate in Arlington Heights. There's the hurdle of not owning the property, which was kind of the whole point. The whole point was to have your own thing. You can control the field the way that you want. You can build the entire city out the way that you want on that campus, instead of having to jump through the hoops of leasing the land from the city, then putting in private equity, then dealing with the loss, the inevitable lawsuits that are going to come, fighting the charter of the city itself.
And also knowing that regardless of the gorgeous renderings that will be produced, that these public-private consortiums regularly end up delivering far less than all of the glitz suggests.
I don't even think that's in question here. I think what is in question is the process. And at the end of the day, a different president hired by the same family 20 years prior, who had never had any experience in building another stadium, made all those decisions first. And the industry dictates that that is, if you want to negotiate with the public at all and have a more favorable tax rate, that part of doing that has to come before you buy anything. They put the cart before the horse, and now it's somebody else's mistake to try to fix. So we're sitting here listening to the process. I'm not saying that anyone is lying, but I know that there's partly what has to, these things have to be done in order to get something to move.
And
because there is a chance that he might have a more favorable situation here, that is actually the case.
There's a chance of it, but it's unlikely, mainly because of the ownership aspect of it. Like, the whole point was to own the building and generate revenue for yourself, to not worry about parking, to not like build your own campus and do it. And you're right. Like, this current mayor seems more open to discussing these things seriously than the two previous mayors were. So sure, why not allow for all of the saber rattling to continue, allow for Mayor Johnson to put out statements, to allow for the Bears to then follow it up and being like, see, we're really, really talking with the city of Chicago about this.
I wish that the media in this city understood what some seem to understand and not chase the headlines. Bears shifting focus. No, you're shifting focus.
No, if the Bears are saying they're shifting focus,
they're saying they are.
They're saying they're shifting the focus.
They're saying they are.
But they're quoting that in earnest. It's not the reporter's job to editorialize. We're saying this because this is our opinion show.
Say
right.
Exactly.
It's
but
how
that's
it's
what
reported.
We did on NBC. We reported it that way because that's the truth. They're saying they're shifting focus. When they talk about this, people want to know. Those things are news questions that we're always going to answer. On this show, where it's our opinion, we're allowed to ask, how earnest is this? Who pays, who loses, who benefits? We're allowed to ask those things. They're two different things in my mind. But here's another piece of this to me, is we talk about why the Bears want to own something. The Bears wanted to own something when the city no longer wanted to play ball. That is important here. The Bears wanted to build a sports book at Soldier Field. The city did not want to talk to them. That's a major piece of all of this.
That's right.
So there was an issue that led to them wanting a different setup for them. And it's because the city and the park district didn't even want to talk to them. I understand that piece of it. And I still think that's ridiculous. So now all of these conversations are having to be had after you already paid $200 million. But to me, that's the biggest point in all of this. I don't know what overrides a $200 million commitment to something. I just told you how I feel about my own $6 commitment to a box of crackers that I enjoy.
Crackers.
Not even a box. It was like a sleeve.
Three sleeves. Grocery consolidation is a real issue, people.
In this town, seriously. But at least it's on hold.
In America. But that's my point here. So if I'm stressing out over $6 that I actually pleasantly needed to spend on something, I don't know what changes that.
I was talking to someone who has an interest rate in the twos, and I'm like, it's better than gold. Like, having that, if you got an interest rate in the twos, threes, and fours, it's so nice.
Tell me about it.
So nice. Tell me about
it. It's also causing a lot of reluctant landlords.
We got way too much house. We would love to downsize, but it's just too damn expensive.
Exactly.
But you just bought that second furnace.
The reluctant landlord.
Well, yeah, but the second furnace at least increases the value a little bit. That's the thing about home ownership is you got to do it even if you're not going to use it.
And again, everybody's like, oh, the Bears are going to make money. Show me the buyer. Show me another buyer and a developer who wants that land right now at these interest rates.
It's very high.
Show me. Florio, and then I'll agree with you.
Mike Florio, I don't think he wants to buy it. He probably could with all his money. But he's going to join us to talk about the NFL. What are the chances that Justin Fields starts in Pittsburgh? We'll discuss all of those things with him next on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.